Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend we celebrate the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I hope you had a great week. Let's get into our readings, my friends, but before we do, let's do our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to those four questions, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 18 to 21. And here it is. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts. I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, and Lud, Mosak, Tubal, and Javan, and to the distant coastlands. They have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the book of Isaiah today, my friends, we hear confirmation from the Lord that he knows the works and the thoughts that you and I are doing and that you and I have. And he comes to gather the nations of every language so that they shall come and see his glory. What works are you and I doing for the Lord today? What are our thoughts each and every day? Are they positive or negative? Are they conducive for bearing good fruit? We have good thoughts. We move forward to take action on those thoughts. We make an impact on people in different ways. And we produce good fruit. And if not, there are consequences for the negativity that we produce in daily life. So the Lord tells us that he knows our works and our thoughts. So it's important that you and I, each and every day, each and every week, have a plan of action to do the works that God calls us to do, to help other people, to help our families, our children, our parents, our neighbors, to love our neighbor as ourself, to love one another as our Father in heaven has loved us. And it's important that we take this to heart and we take action and that we are doers of the word. And we reflect on the fact today that the Lord is aware of every thought that we have. And sometimes we have negative thoughts. And it's up to us, my friends, to engage in the Word of God, build a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, to keep those thoughts positive, to keep ourselves moving forward in a great direction so that we can truly have eternity with our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, once again, I ask the question, what works are you and I doing for the Lord? Can we do more? Are we doing nothing in the day-to-day, or is it just all about me? What works do you like to do or love to do and have done in the past that you need to regenerate, you know, reinvent and start getting active once again to re-engage? Are you bringing, you know, a positive message to other people, sharing our faith? Are you bringing food to the people who have no food out there? Bringing clothing to those who have no clothing? Are you visiting men and women in prison, trying to lift their spirits, trying to help them to prepare for coming home? Are you helping people to get through their addiction to drugs or alcohol? Are you counseling anybody in your own family, helping them to move in the right directions, to avoid the things that God says not to do? What good works are you doing today, my friends, that are really important for the Lord? I want you to think about it objectively. And the question is, can we do a little bit more to make an impact that's greater? Can we do a little bit more to build our communities, our family life, our cities, our schools, our church? What more can we do? Can you give one more hour a week into the works that God calls us to do? Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the letters of St. Paul to the Hebrews. And brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as my children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it's a great message today we get that is given to the Hebrews. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For when the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. And so, there are times in life when a father will discipline his son. And the Lord's word says that a father has the right to discipline his son. But it also says that divine anger only lasts a moment, and divine favor last a lifetime. And so we want to follow the Lord's lead, the Father's lead, in how to discipline our children when things are not going according to our plan. We want to be careful to not have a negative impact forever, leading our children in the wrong direction. We want to make sure that we are using God's example on how to discipline our children. And the Lord said, once again, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. So there will be times when we have to show tough love to our kids, remove privileges in different situations. And these are some of the consequences that have to be, you know, clearly set up onto the table to make sure that, you know, children are aware of the rules that God has put forth for us. And it's powerful. And the word says to endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. So we will endure through these trials for sure. And God wants us to learn the lesson, to gain wisdom, and to move forward. And do not reject, you know, the punishment of the Almighty, God's word also says. But God loves us, and if we love our children, we will love them as God loves us. But there are times when we need to show tough love. I know in doing prison ministry, there were times when I recommended that an inmate would not be released, put out on bail, recommended this to the parents, because the man was dangerous. He was dangerous not only to himself, but to his family, based on the evidence that is clearly, you know, shown by a district attorney and by the police department. So there are times when we need to show tough love, to remove privileges, and to give the proper, you know, correction and plan of action for correction to each individual. And there's things such as Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, the WINGS program. There are things, you know, that we will not even take part in that they offer in prison only for inmates to correct behaviors. Hence, we have a facility that was closed down years ago called the House of Corrections. And this is a place where people go, you know, a jail where people go to make corrections in their attitudes, their behaviors, their words and actions. And when they have made the proper changes, then God will bless them with a early parole, work release, house arrest to reintegrate into family life. And it's important. But every family has its challenges with its children. And every family, you know, needs to love their kids, but sometimes tough love can be the answer. And it's not an easy thing to do. I know a gentleman who has been plagued with, you know, a son who has done a lot of damage over the years. And unfortunately, you know, he just would not come along. And his father didn't realize that sometimes he should have given him tough love. And so he took advantage of his father and his mother for many years. But you and I, my friends, you know, following the Lord's footsteps in offering the discipline that's proper for the situation based on the evidence that we have been given in different scenarios, whatever they are. Obviously, today we have an epidemic of drug use, alcoholism, We have a lot of freedoms that people take part in that are aligned with what God says not to do. That immoral activity, unethical activity, you know, that doesn't line up with what God says to do. And so we have to, once again, you know, realize that God disciplines us for certain reasons, to help us to be the best men and women that we can be. And he says in the book of Psalms that the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. And that's something we have to comply with. It's not something we can push away and decide not to do. It's an order by the Lord to be a good man. Think about it. Such a simple thing, but it takes work daily to fulfill that obligation, to comply with that order, to be a good man. The steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. And that's the zone we want to be in, whether we're priests, deacons, religious, lay people, officers in the U.S. military, doctors, lawyers, educators, senators, congressmen, city councilmen, presidents of the United States, whatever your position in life, whatever your state in life, the Lord says the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. So for those of you out there, you and I, my friends, who need to make changes, God calling you today to make the change to be a better person. And he has disciplined you and I in the past. And now is the time to acknowledge how much he loves us, that he didn't give up on us, but he decided to discipline us in a way to give us another chance in moving forward in the life that he gives us. And we look to St. Paul himself as a person who was disciplined, who was converted by Jesus Christ, who was knocked off his horse, went blind. The Lord took his eyesight away for 72 hours. Imagine. That was the discipline he was given. Lost his eyesight for the first time in his life, and then the Lord gave it back to him and showed the love of God and forgiveness for the things he had done in persecuting the church, and gave him a great chance to become part of the church. And he fulfilled that part by writing 13 books in the Bible and going to the front lines to bring the message of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and the message of all that God has for us, all that he tells us to do. St. Paul delivered those messages. And today in this reading, it's to the Hebrews. So it's a powerful opportunity to acknowledge that there will be times, my friends, when we love one another, and there were times when we have to offer tough love to make the difference in the lives of other people, including our children. Let's go to our gospel reading from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. And here it is. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we see the Lord laying it out clearly that we have to strive to enter the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. The question is, at this time, at this moment, for you and I, are we strong enough to enter the narrow gate? Or is it so difficult that we won't get in? What do we have to do to get into the narrow gate? Again, the Lord says, after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And the Lord will say, I do not know where you are from. Do you know the Lord today? Do you have a strong relationship with him? Are we aligned with what God says to do and following through in daily life with that? Or are we evildoers, not doing the good works of the Lord, but doing evil in daily life? Only you and the Lord know that. And this is important, because God wants us to come home to our Father in heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. But the Lord tells us here that there are those who will not enter the narrow gate, those who will be turned away, that there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and we will be cast out. And that's a zone we definitely don't want to be in, my brothers and sisters in Christ. What changes do you and I have to make today, right now? What words and actions must we make changes in? What words have to be removed from our vocabulary? What phraseology and terminology must we remove from daily conversations? And what actions do we need to take? What changes do we make? What actions do we need to take to make sure that we are going to enter the kingdom of God? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here today in the Gospel of Luke that not everybody will come in. And he lays it out this way: for behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And for the people out there with the great humility to think about this, to open the door for someone else and allow them to go in first. People out there who are seated last and allow everybody to come in before them. God says those who are last will be first. Isn't that a zone we want to be in? Once again, a position in life where we are demonstrating greater humility to our Lord in daily life, allowing other people first, putting ourselves in a latter position, even last, to allow people to eat first, to drink first, to get through a door first, and to do many things that we look to do in daily life. first. And so putting ourselves in a latter position and being more generous, more compassion, more understanding, more patient, and listening first to the people, understanding the people before we are understood, requires patience and generosity and kindness. And in every situation, there's opportunity to put others before us. And God calls us to do it. And this is important, my friends, because remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels that we refer to each and every week, words to live by, given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And here today in the Gospel of Luke, God's giving us a great message to raise the standards and to do a little bit better than we've been doing, because the gate is a narrow gate and not everyone will be strong enough to enter. So how do we get stronger? And it's all faith in God. How do we do this in daily life? It requires adherence to the Word of God, to observe the Word, and to not be deviating from the Word, not be distracted from the Word. This is important. So, you know, to get stronger, our relationship in Jesus Christ and our Father in Heaven must get stronger. We must work hard to increase our faith over the days, the months, the years that we have given to us by our Lord, all in preparation for one thing, to enter the narrow gate which the Lord will open. Again, he says to us, after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And so that to me means that we have a different philosophy. We live by different standards. We have ignored the Word of God and the morals, the values, the ethics, and biblical principles that God has given us. We want to be aligned with our Lord so he knows us, so that he's familiar with us, so he is pleased with us in everything that we are doing. And when the time comes to get through the narrow gate, the Lord will be there to say, welcome. And that's the zone we want to be in, my friends. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wish you a great weekend, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.